This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. More uncertainty for businesses and investors. Canada, the largest supplier of steel and aluminum to the U.S., announcing more than $20 billion in retaliatory tariffs after the U.S. implemented that 25% on tariffs for all imported metals. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House.
The tit-for-tat on trade continues, this time the U.S. against Europe. President Trump Wednesday said he would respond after the European Union put in place retaliatory tariffs on about $28 billion of U.S. goods. Action it took after the president's 25% tariff on steel and aluminum went into effect.
President Trump defending massive cuts at the Department of Education, saying it will lead to more efficiency. Roughly half of the DOE workforce being laid off. Critics say underserved and special needs students will be impacted the most. After Ukraine agreed to the U.S. proposal of a 30-day ceasefire, Russia's president has yet to sign off. Today, Russia carrying out attacks across Ukraine. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The River Valley School District will be asking voters for tax funding to maintain its current educational programs, class sizes, services, and co-curricular activities on the April 1st ballot. Voters will be asked if the River Valley School District should be authorized to exceed the revenue limit by $4,150,000 for the 2025-26 school year, by $4,750,000 for the 2026-27 school year, and by $5.2 million for the 2027-28 school year for non-recurring purposes consisting of paying the cost of maintaining educational programs and maintenance of the district. The district does not plan to add new positions or programs, new buildings, or facilities. Lauren Glassbrenner serves as the River Valley District Administrator.
This is not about a capital referendum where it's dealing with buildings or renovations or any of that. That's in our past. That's gone. This is about the programming that we offer to retain the great courses and classes and class sizes that we have currently. So this is about us just keeping going and want to make sure that people are really clear about the difference between operational, which is coming up, and what we had in the past, which is capital. The whole referendum and the operational referendum stuff that we're talking about throughout the state of Wisconsin is not necessarily about expenses and people using the money poorly. It's about revenues, about what we can pull in as a public school system and how we can use it. So it's not about expenses. It's about revenues.
Community referendum information sessions will be held to allow voters to get information firsthand and ask questions. An informational session will be held Tuesday, March 18th at 5:30 at the Middle School Library. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-7 win over the Cubs out in Arizona. Home runs by Jake Bowers, Vinny Capra, Reese Hoskins. Right-hander Brandon Woodruff pitched against a Padres minor league team, gave up 3 runs in 3 innings in his first appearance since having shoulder surgery 17 months ago.
The changeup's got a long way to go, but all the other stuff is pretty much right where I want it.
NFL defensive back Eric Stokes is leaving the Packers. The former first-round pick signing a 1-year deal with the Raiders worth $4 million. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 115-114 in Indy. Giannis missing a game-winning shot at the buzzer. And the Bucks mourning the loss of former player and part owner Junior Bridgman, who died after suffering a heart attack at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville.
I mean, when you think about it, he is the exact model that the league should use every day when they're talking to our young players. So, tough day. Just really a tough day.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The sun won't stop. We have plenty of it today with highs reaching 60 degrees and more of it tomorrow with highs climbing to the upper 60s. For Friday, clouds roll in, we become breezy and muggy, and we warm up to the mid-70s. Then at night, strong to severe thunderstorms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 54.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nair on Air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
It's Thursday. We're excited to meet our pharmacist and Dr. Omar at 8 a.m., followed by Mandela Barnes in the second hour to discuss the April elections, the Supreme Court, and the state superintendent.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wednesday is a whole show of segments that you can find here every week. We kick it off with In Your Neck of the Woods with Greg Gunderson, bottom of the 2 p.m. hour. We always have Milwaukee as a microcosm with Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. And at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, we have a little segment we like to call Broad Appeal. We're talking about women in public service, women elected officials. Now, he's not a female elected official, but we're going to talk about women in public service. You know him as your former lieutenant governor and the guy that should be a sitting U.S. senator. Mandela Barnes, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I really appreciate you being here, Mandela. Oop, you're muted. Always good to be able to actually hear you. There we go.
Well, you know, well, you were talking about women's empowerment. It's only right that I was muted at this moment.
I appreciate your flexibility. I'll refrain from muting you when I need to talk too much. All joking aside, Mandela, we have such an important topic to get to today, and that is the impact of our billionaire overlords, you know, hacksaw approach to cutting public servants, firing people in some of the most inhumane ways that I have ever heard of. But before we get there, I wanted to give a little plug. Not only are Jeremy Janine and I going to be at this event this evening at the downtown MATC campus, also Mr. Mandela Barnes is going to be there. This is one MKE's presentation of Your Ballot, Your Future, a preview of our 2025 spring elections. Again, this is going to be at MATC's downtown campus. Mr. Mandela Barnes, our former lieutenant governor, kicks it off with the welcome panel. Jeremy and I will be on one of the later media panels. So come see both Mandela, myself, and Jeremy Janine this evening at MATC's downtown campus. Just give it a Google. You can RSVP there. The event is free. Check it out. But let's get to the business of the day. You recently sat down and interviewed a friend of yours who had been working in the Indian Services. Again, not my language. This is a sort of holdover name. It's a subdivision of the Department of Health and Human Services in the federal government. Tell us a little bit about how did you end up having this conversation? And we're going to listen to a bit of it this afternoon.
For sure. So I think we've all seen a number of the Facebook posts that are making their rounds with, you know, National Park Services, folks who've been fired unjustly, people from the VA who've been fired unjustly, like all these sort of instances. And, you know, when you see these stories that are rightfully sensational, you know, it still feels like there's like, it's miles away. But then I saw a post from a friend of mine who's in a running group that I'm in, Katia Wanish, and she posted about, you know, finally landing that dream job. And, you know, as bad as the ones, you know, the folks that I'll never meet, as bad as those were, as bad as they continue to be, seeing this directly from someone who I know, it just makes it that much more difficult. I also have a friend who posted on Facebook about getting let go from the VA. He doesn't live in Wisconsin anymore. He used to. But being able to have this conversation with her was so important. One, just based on the level of her career that she was in. You know, she's a younger person, but you know, been at a pretty decent level, you know, with the USDA. And I wanted folks to know that these are real stories. These are our friends. These are people we know. These are our neighbors. And if we think about the strength of the fabric of a community and how easily it is for just one fiber of that to be plucked, I want people to know just how unstable the whole thing is. And I wanted to have that conversation to bring it to light, to make it real for those who still weren't getting a grip on what's happening.
Thanks so much for that. Let's take a little listen to your interview of Katia. You can find the conversation between former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and his friend Katia, who was fired via a very bizarre email from her basically dream job as a public servant serving Wisconsin Native Americans. Let's take a listen. This is going to be cut one, Cal.
I really enjoyed, you know, making connections. And I think the reason that I chose the position is because I wanted to serve the people.
And we'll just, let's go to cut two right away and then three, please.
So I really feel like there's a lack of dignity. And I just felt like I was kind of completely erased from the system one day. So I essentially received a blank email, nothing written in the message, nothing saying, hi, Katia, or anything like that. A blank email with an attachment telling me that I was terminated.
We'll get into some of the detail here, but I have been a boss. I've had to let people go. And every time I had to do that, I approached it with this deep sense of responsibility, because that is a person with family, with financial responsibilities. And I never, ever let anyone go that didn't know it was coming. I want to be clear about that, right? If there are performance problems, I always say no job evaluation should ever catch you by surprise. Like, you should know that there is an issue, that I have to do X, Y, or Z in order to keep my job. A blank email that says via attachment, you're fired after years as a public servant, absolutely, I don't know. It's just completely stripping people of even the tiniest shred of their dignity. That part of the interview really hit me hard. What was it like talking with your friend and trying to share this with the public? How did that land with you, Mandela? Just as a person, so much of this is super heartbreaking. What was your takeaway?
Well, look, you give people the respect they deserve, and she's a person who didn't get the respect that she deserved, as well as thousands of other people across the country. And this total lack of respect for, you know, the public sector isn't anything new. I would tell people all the time that Donald Trump wouldn't have got elected if Scott Walker hadn't gotten elected here in Wisconsin. Mm. And given his total lack of respect for the working people who actually make this state function, regardless of what level they are in employment and seniority, they all play a critical role to ensuring that we get to enjoy everything that this great state has to offer. And that total lack of respect has gone all the way up to the federal government, to the White House specifically. You know, the old saying is, like, there's no such thing as a victimless billionaire, right? Like, you have to think about, like, how many people have been left in this person's wake, like, regardless of his people who were unjustly fired in his private sector ventures, the people who were at Twitter, who made Twitter Twitter was never a perfect place. Let me start by saying that.
Right.
But there were some guardrails in place. And to see how he came in, took over Twitter, he's tweeting, treating this entire country as if it were Twitter. And we are going in the direction of Twitter becoming a racist hellscape. And there is nothing, there's hardly anybody, certainly there aren't Republicans who are stepping up to put this in check. And honestly, I wish there were more Democrats who are willing to step up and say, at least stand up and say no to this. And you got a person like Al Green who stood up and protested Medicare cuts. Look, you can talk about decorum all you want to,
sure,
but if you have the president who is letting go a workforce with little regard for their humanity, I do believe that that respect goes both ways. You don't just respect a president for the sake of respecting a president. A president should actually have respect for the office. And Donald Trump has shown very little respect for the office of president. He effectively had a sales pitch for Tesla just yesterday.
Yes, on the freaking White House lawn. What are we even talking about?
What are we talking about? So I don't, decorum has long been out the, decorum was out of the window during President Trump's first term. You know, you don't.
This is, yeah, and this is the problem with Trump, right? Like in normal times, in non, oh my God, what is even happening land, I would make an argument that you respect the office, that there are so these elements of just respect for the man has no respect for anyone, maybe other than other billionaires. He put them in the front row of his inauguration, right? He doesn't respect working people. His tax proposals show us that. He doesn't respect public servants, though he's supposed to be one. And the very way that he is permitting these mass firings to be conducted, when you show absolutely no respect, and in fact, not just the absence of respect, but active everyday hate and discrimination. Like, if people want to have an in-depth good faith argument with me about whether or not DEI policies actually work or whether they're corporate window dressings, like, I'm all for having that convo, because that is a real gosh darn thing. But do not tell me that discriminating against Black and brown and indigenous folks is the way to solve the problems for white working class people in this state and across the country. That it is so offensive. I wanted to ask you this very question, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, from Eric from Wauwatosa on our text line. Hey, would you ask our should-have-been senator how he would vote on the continuing resolution that's now before the Senate? Would you filibuster, or would you try to make the GOP negotiate a deal to get the CR done?
So oddly enough, this is a prep question with just a friend of mine today who said, what would I have done? Just in a regular, we just texted each other.
You're about just random things. Shooting the breeze.
Just shooting the breeze. A friend of mine said, well, if you were there, what would you have done? And I had, you know, I really had to think about it, because one, you know, there has to be people who stand up and just say no to the madness, no to the chaos. And, you know, you want to do the right thing for people all the time, and understanding how many people have been impacted by government shutdowns before. But now this is a totally different era, because so much of the workforce has already been, you know, laid off and mass fired, and it feels as if they want to burn it down. And very rarely do Democrats match the energy or call the bluff of Republicans. So honestly, I feel as if they want to burn it down. Well, let's see how far they are willing to take it. Let's have this conversation, because these votes are going to keep happening. And if you vote, if you don't let them pass their regressive agenda enough times, they will have to come to terms, because they will start to hear from their constituents, and they have rarely had to hear from their people.
We're going to talk more about the boomerang and the fact that Democrats have cleaned up Republican messes to Republican benefit, but not Democratic credit, in the past with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We take your questions as well. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Cornell from Merrill, Jack from Merrimack, and your questions are next on the phone and text lines with Mandela Barnes, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
dog.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
We're no chain of fools here in Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a very special guest with me for this half-hour block. You know him very well. He's former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and Senate candidate. Breaking a little news here on The Maggie Dawn Show, saying he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator. Let them enact their agenda and see actually what the results may be. You've got a question for the former lieutenant governor, 855-752-4842. Cam from Appleton agreeing with you, Mandela. No negotiating with the GOP. This is what people voted for. Let them see how it sorts out. Lee from the Grove saying this, Wisconsin was the incubator in 2011 for what is happening on the national level today. No doubt. It has completely eroded our trust in each other as neighbors and friends. There is the divide and conquer strategy that continues to work to this day, especially with the faux urban-rural divide. Very true. This is so silly because we are all facing the same drastic cuts and poor outcomes if the GOP gets what it wants. Right before the break, Mandela, we were talking about the idea that there has been kind of this cycle where, frankly, Democrats step in, are terrible at taking credit for the things that they do very well, to sometimes basically protect working people from the worst impulses of the GOP over the last 25 years. I'll make it even more broadly, or take it more broad. When I hear working class and middle class and upper middle class, white folk especially, bemoan some of the foundational elements of the Democratic Party or complain of the Democratic Party fails to speak to working people's issues, it strikes me as at best ironic. If you are an upper middle class white person whose parents were able to afford to pay for your college education or help you buy a home, I nearly almost guarantee that some of the wealth that your family has acquired was because the federal government, through the New Deal and through home mortgage subsidies and a huge gamut of other programs, helped grow the middle class coming out of the Great Depression through the 1970s. You are the beneficiary of the very Democratic policies that you now deride and vote against. Mandela, your thoughts on this cycle that we seem to be in?
Oh, for sure. And it's the same people that completely dismissed the exclusion that took place during the Green New Deal or the GI Bill, all these things that left Black families out to dry, people who gave everything to this country.
Yes.
And so it's unfortunate and very, you know, selfish for people to all of a sudden say, well, you know, we should just leave things as they are because all things are equal and everybody has the same shot at success in this country, which could not be there could not be a bigger lie than that. Things just are not equal because there has been a very deliberate effort to make sure that's not the case. And I do want to go back to one point. I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. And as you mentioned, we shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who is hell-bent on sinking the entire ship. We cannot sit here and try to save people that want to destroy everybody else, because it'll be us that go along with them. And they can say we got this done in a bipartisan fashion as the ship goes down.
Yeah, I don't want any credit for what is anti-middle class, anti-working people, overtly racially discriminatory, overtly anti-city, overtly we should care about climate. None of that is, and more tax cuts for billionaires. Like, not something I want to be involved in. Wes from Middleton also weighing in. Shut it down. We've got some very patient callers. Cornell from Merrill, say hello to the Lieutenant Governor. What's your comment or question, sir?
I was going to talk about global warming. The thing is that there's a bill that Tom Tiffany is putting out, and it's called the Agriculture Retention Management Act, Farm Act. And what he wants to do is shut down subsidies to farmers to build solar and wind farms. And due to the global warming crisis, the report just came out, and it's stated that the major cities that are becoming too hot for humans to live in, and the CO2 is the highest in a million years, that we need these solar and wind power plants. And another thing is that if Schumer gets into the Supreme Court, if you go up to the Supreme Court, somebody might complain about solar and wind power and building, that he would deny this. And this is a tremendous problem.
Completely agree with you, Cornell. I call him the shameless shill, Brad Schimmel, bought and paid for by Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord. Folks, if you are on the phone, first, let me ask you this. Can you hang around for another segment, Mr. Mandela Barnes? Heck yes, he can. Folks, so if you are on the lines, stay there. Text lines are open. Phone lines are open. Jack from Merrimack, you're going to be up next. But I wanted to give you, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, the opportunity to respond to our friend Cornell's comment about climate.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because Tom Tiffany is always displaying his lack of understanding, I'll just put it that way, on these sort of issues. In fact, why would he prevent a farmer's ability to make that decision, to make that choice? Now, that's the only thing that's on brand, is preventing people from making their own choices. Now, that has always been the Tom Tiffany style. And he says this as if you cannot still graze land that has solar panels, or you still can't farm with certain kind of crops. And in fact, this has become a revenue stream for so many farmers in an era where people like Tom Tiffany have pushed out smaller families farms in order for large consolidated operations that have harmed the fabric of our rural communities. Now, another thing I will point out, if Tom Tiffany was so concerned with conservation of land of any sort, he would not have voted the way that he did when he was in the state assembly when the state reduced wetland protections and made it easier to develop on those same wetlands. And we're talking about development that cannot be reversed. So correct. This guy's talking out of both sides of his mouth and doesn't really understand what's going on and just wants to make political points to the MAGA base.
This is like the MAGA brand. Deny that climate is happening and all will be fine. No, not quite how science is. We're going to have more with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Your questions and comments, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Text and phone lines are open. This great conversation continues on the other side, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Well, with some of this warmer weather that we are experiencing, you might be thinking of pulling out the grill and firing it up. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is here to explain how just doing that may be helping the beef market.
Some of the Canadian cattle that come into those northern packing plants kind of got put on hold for a while. So we saw a really strong cash bid in the north up to 200, 201, 202. I heard numbers in that area. And that just jumped the front end of that cattle market as the fundamentals in that market continue to stay tight. Now throwing a little warm weather here as the forecasts are kind of improving and maybe a little faster. We need, I know I was firing up some burgers on the grill last night too. So this market just got some money flow into it just on the anticipation maybe things are still going to stabilize here in that retail market and that cash market.
As Heinberg was saying, these warmer temperatures may be a blessing for the beef producers as the uptick in sales might help stabilize the market. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those closing markets right after this.
Improve yield without an extra step with QuickShot. QuickShot is a quality fluency agent and a full nutrient package in one ultimate planter box treatment. It provides all the benefits of enhanced flowability, improved singulation, and fewer skips, but with a powerful jolt of nourishment. This improves uptake and vigor during emergence, leading to stronger stand establishment and increased uniformity. Go with QuickShot to help your seed reach its full yield potential. Contact your local Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information about QuickShot. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how those markets ended on this Tuesday. It is a tale of two stories in the marketplace today as cash corn closed down 1 3/4 at 4.70 1/4, and new crop corn is down a half at 4.54 1/2. Cash soybeans are down 2 3/4 at 10.11 1/4, with new crop soybeans down 2 1/4 at 10.15 1/2. May wheat is down 5 3/4 at 5.56 3/4, with July wheat down 5 1/2 at 5.71 3/4. Class 3 milk is seeing gains as April contracts are up 37 cents at 17.53 1/hundredweight, and May contracts are up 16 cents at 17.72 1/hundredweight. Barrels of cheese closed up 4 at 164 1/2, with 40-pound blocks up 3 3/4 at 167. And AA butter closed up 2 at 233. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The sun won't stop. We have plenty of it today with highs reaching 60 degrees and more of it tomorrow with highs climbing to the upper 60s. For Friday, clouds roll in, we become breezy and muggy, and we warm up to the mid-70s. Then at night, strong to severe thunderstorms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 54.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it illegal for a law firm to represent someone the government doesn't like? Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
¶¶
What's going on, everybody? My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got the last half hour of the show, so if you want to get your 2 cents, nickel, dime, or quarter in, now is your chance. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We got a very special guest with me hanging out for an extra segment. I always appreciate it when he gives me a little bit more time. We're all better off and smarter for it. His name is Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor of this great state. We were talking about, and I want to be sure I plug this wonderful conversation that you had with your good friend Katya, who is fired by anonymized email in the Doge slaughter that continues to occur, fired from her job, her life's goal to be a public servant, serving in the Indian Services Bureau, which is under the Department of Health and Human Services. Obviously, Native Americans and First Nation people here in the state of Wisconsin, such an important public service, fired through an email. You can find that interview between Mr. Mandela Barnes and Katya on in the entirety, uncut, by going to political editor Dan Schaefer's The Recombobulation Area. You can find the story. It's called The Pawn in a Billionaire's Game. Check it out. You can see Dan's commentary as well as the full interview between Mandela and Katya. Thanks for sticking around, Mandela. We've got a couple of folks on the phone. I'm going to go right there if you're cool with that. If you've got a question or comment, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jack from Merrimack, thank you for your patience, sir. You're up next.
Well, first of all, I want to say I've met Mr. Barnes at an event when he was running for the Senate, and it's an absolute travesty that we have a corrupt, useless shill like Ron Johnson who was reelected. But that's not where I had really intended to go with it. Second thing, I've got two questions, really. Question one, the bunch of people that have been fired, there are civil service laws that govern their employment. There are individual contracts, or at least a blanket contract. Isn't that illegal to fire those people? And secondly, on that same track, isn't it illegal to withhold some of those funds like they're doing for the repairs in Milwaukee? Because those were allocated by the previous budgets. The other thing I wanted to ask is this. If those are indeed illegal, even though Trump has royal immunity, can't the shills that like Musk and his slightly post-adolescent lackeys, can't they be prosecuted for those crimes?
Lots of great questions there, Jack. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, I'll give you first crack and then I'll weigh in.
A whole lot of good questions. And I just want to bring it back to my point that we aren't dealing with norms. Like, it goes back to that conversation about decorum. They are breaking the law in real time. But the fact is, Donald Trump has already broken the law, been convicted, and truly has faced zero consequence. So what's going to stop him from abusing the normal rules that we go by when governing an entire country if he has shown how much he can already get away with? I mean, the thing is, you look at even Rodrigo Duterte, you look at a couple other leaders, world leaders who've been jailed because of their misdeeds. This man not only committed misdeeds and got convicted of them, he got back into the highest office of power. And so we are, of course, going to have to employ a legal strategy. When people say, well, what can we do? Well, it's not a one thing we can do. It's multiple things that have to happen all at once. There has to be a legal strategy. There has to be public pressure that continues to mount. Organizations like Indivisible, who are showing up in congressional districts across the country, holding members of Congress accountable. And if people aren't holding those town hall meetings as directed by Speaker Mike Johnson, nothing's stopping you from showing up to the office. Nothing's stopping you from flooding their inboxes with letters, emails, calls. they have to know that what they're doing is not just not only not popular, but it's not right and the people will not stand for it. But it does take us, actually having the desire to meet this moment. I know a lot of people are very tired. A lot of people exhausted. Are very weary from the last election cycle that felt like it took every single thing out of us. And we don't have much energy left to keep going. But I can tell you for the folks who are facing, illegal termination from their jobs and those jobs that are keeping all of us safe, that are keeping us protected and also giving us an opportunity to explore this country and to participate in different recreational activities like folks at the Park Service. Like if all these things matter, not just to you, but to other folks, to future generations, like we do have to dig deep as if it were another presidential election cycle and give it everything we got and stand up to this madness.
A couple of technical answers. One, here's the trick. If you move from one federal position to another, specifically into another federal level executive branch agency, you're often treated as a probationary employee and therefore do not have any legal right to your job and can be terminated legally, even under civil service rules. There are a ton of people that they have gone after under this sort of loophole that I'll say. Secondly, if you are a civil servant and you do have those protections, yes, many of these firings are going to be legally challenged. When it comes to federal grants and federal contracts, especially where work has already been completed or funds expended in reliance upon the issuance and granting, if you will, of the grant, yes, there is going to be litigation. My argument, hearing the breaking news today from Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee, that the Trump administration is clawing back well over $110 million, primarily going to First Nation communities and Black and Brown communities across the state of Wisconsin by killing DOT grants, I say affirmative lawsuit, assert actual racial discrimination and racial animus. Let them keep talking about DEI is bad. I'm going to turn that into a lawsuit, but that's just this aggressive lawyer. I hope some of our public lawyers are down for that as well. We've got Dale from Wausau. Say hello to the Lieutenant Governor. What's your question or comment, Dale?
Yeah, Megan, what I wanted to say is on tariffs, I think the ultimate objective of tariffs is to alienate as many of our native allies as possible to leave us by ourselves, weakened and vulnerable to authoritarian impulses in our own government and authoritarian governments in the world disguised as retribution and protecting ourselves from supposed unfairness from our NATO ally countries. I think we will see tariffs imposed on additional NATO allies. I think the tariffs are also being used to weaken our NATO allies. On Greenland, there is something strategically and geographically important to the Trump administration for this push to buy or make Greenland part of the United States. Just a couple points I wanted to make.
Thanks, Dale. Your thoughts on Donald Trump's herky-jerky whiplash tariffs, no tariffs, 50%, 25% retaliatory, but then not, I'll wait a month. Maybe it'll happen in May, but then not the auto industry because they called me and I like them. You know, this whole very well thought out, intentional, deliberate, exacting, scalpel-like approach to our economic policy.
Well, like I said before, like Donald Trump mismanaged the economy the first time he was in office. And so for him to propose an even more extreme viewpoint of tariffs and trade policy just shows how unequipped he is for it. And that was an incredibly important point that Dale made about this being a pathway to authoritarianism. And it's not just that. It's everything else. It's the curtailing of speech. It's the prevention of certain media outlets from being able to remain present in the White House press briefing.
They kicked out the AP. For crying out loud. It's nuts, and
as I've said before, you know, we have to respond by doing every possible thing, and it's because they are doing everything. They're not just keeping us distracted, it's every single lever that they can possibly pull to cause even more chaos for them to be able to consolidate more and more power and authority. That's exactly what's happening. And I've said it before, too, for people who have not been fired, who are frustrated about what's going on. You know, last time he was in office, there was a nice cadre of folks in the federal government who held the line in many ways, doing the work that should be done. If you are there now, understanding that this is completely different and even more chaotic. These are the folks we need. Look, just like we said on Election Day, if you're in the federal government, stay in the federal government.
Please.
Please. We need the right thing. We need as many guardrails in place. And this isn't even political, right?
Human guardrails. Yes.
Well, we're talking about agencies like the FBI, which, you know, typically skews pretty conservative. And these are folks who are wondering what the hell's going on at this moment. And so it's beyond partisanship right now. This is strictly, I cannot think of, a more time for folks to exercise actual patriotism. And that patriotism needs to stand in the face of nationalism, because they are two very different things.
Yeah, being a patriot isn't being a nationalist, right? Loving America and loving the United States with its complex history is not an endorsement of presidents are kings and presidential immunity and flouting the will of Congress and acting as if we only have one branch of government and everybody else or anyone that disagrees is completely irrelevant and doesn't have a place here. Let's not get it twisted. Those are not equivalents. I also agree, Mandel, with Dale's point that tariff policy coupled with isolationist foreign policy, which turns allies into adversaries, is part and parcel of authoritarians and dictators. Guess what was happening in early 1930s Germany as Hitler rose in power? That was the full-hearted bear hug embrace of isolationism and tariffs as a means of, frankly, shifting the funding obligations for running our government onto the backs of the middle class, while all sorts of what I'm going to call corporate welfare is doled out to the preferred oligarchs within a dictatorship. I could not imagine a situation where a president who is as nakedly transactional as is Donald Trump isn't cutting deals quietly with those industries and corporations that are friendly to him. Does anyone doubt that if the EU attempts to regulate these sorts of media companies and social media companies that have bent the knee to Donald Trump and or Musk's companies, that he will impose even more retaliatory tariffs? This is sort of corruption in the open for all to see. It is deeply troubling. Steve from Madison on the text line has this to say. This is the worst president in my 78 years of walking earth. I never thought a racist would be running the country during my lifetime. He is destroying the health and welfare of all of us for the pursuit of wealth and greed. We have a new caller. Well, Cal is screening right now. I always like to get the new callers in when we can, Mandela. Encourage this participatory civic dialogue. I'm going to say thank you to Josie from Greenfield. Closing thoughts, Mr. Barnes. And again, I'm going to plug both he and I will be at 1MKE's Your Ballot, Your Future event tonight at MATC's downtown campus. That kicks off at 5 p.m. Check out both Mandela and myself and Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee. Closing thoughts for our listeners, Mr. Lieutenant Governor.
For sure. Yeah, come hang out with us if you're able to tonight. And I just want to, you know, leave people with the fact that we are in a worse position than Russia when it comes to oligarchy, because, you know, Vladimir Putin, all his flaws, of which there are so many, he keeps his oligarchs at bay. They don't get involved in government dealings. Not only have this level of influence, Donald Trump has willingly invited them into the White House to carry out the business of the United States of America, also to prop up their company. This is unheard of, and we need to respond in kind. Can't treat them like regular home. If you're in Congress, you stand up for the government of a board. Understand that you are dealing with a person that has no business in the future of this country.
It is time for all hands on deck. Thank you, Mr. Mandela Barnes. I'll be back in just a couple of moments for some thoughts on getting over the hump and Trump right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Cold late nights so long ago when I was not so sick. Welcome back, everybody. I can't believe we're already at the last segment of the day. Not to worry, you've got lots of civic media coming up this evening. After this fine program, you've got my colleague in broadcasting, Dom Salvia, with the Dom Salvia Show. You can hear Dom every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. And later this afternoon, civic media will be streaming what is called the Protecting Justice for All event, an evening of discussions about the implications of this upcoming Supreme Court election. You are going to want to check this out. It will be across our program network starting after the Dom Salvia Show and on some of our affiliates at 5 p.m. Check that out. That's going to include Todd Albo, who's got the fine program before mine, Dan Schaefer, our political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area, as well as another of our civic colleagues. Again, check that out. That's Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Again, all of that happening this evening in the lead up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate. I think it'll be one of the most impactful elections probably of the past decade. Do you want a guy handpicked by our billionaire overlord on the Supreme Court, whom the billionaire overlord says will execute Donald Trump's agenda, much of which he didn't really tell us about during the campaign? Do you want the guy that's, again, being puppeteered by the billionaire overlord who solicits campaign donations, which is against the rules if you are running for a judicial seat? Do you want the guy puppeteered and controlled by our billionaire overlord who failed to test 9,000 rape kits when he was attorney general and blew over 10,000 of your taxpayer dollars on commemorative coins for his staff in the attorney general office that said KAED, an acronym meaning kicking blank every day? Is this the guy that should be on the Supreme Court? Do you want the guy controlled by our billionaire overlord who doesn't understand either the letter or spirit of Wisconsin's open records and open meetings laws, which ensure that you, Republican or Democrat, independent, into politics, not into politics, can hold your government officials accountable. You want the guy who basically threw up those laws and pitched them into the trash? Yeah. It's an important election, folks. Make sure that you are good to go to make your vote count at myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. And if that discussion isn't prickling your interest, then you can come check out former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, urban Milwaukee creator and journalist Jeremy Janine, and myself. We're all going to be not just on the Maggie Dunn Show this afternoon, but also at One MKE's event this evening at the downtown MATC called Your Ballot, Your Future, A Voter's Guide to the 2025 Wisconsin Elections. There's going to be food, art project, panels, all kinds of great speakers. It's free. It starts at 5 p.m. Come and check it out. Now, we kept the lieutenant governor for a little longer than he was scheduled for this afternoon because all of you had such great questions and comments. My thanks and apologies to Jesse from Madison and Josie from Greenfield that we didn't get to your calls and questions. I really, really, really appreciate your patience. I do want to answer Josie's question. She shared it with my fine producer, Cal, running the board this afternoon. She wanted to know whether or not state attorneys general can sue DOJ. It depends on the action that they're suing about by DOJ. But yes, some of these budget cutting and things like that, if it involves how federal grant monies, most particularly, funnel down into state governments to help fund essential services in state governments, grants that have been approved by the federal government or states have expended dollars already. Yes, there are some areas where indeed states would have standing to sue the federal government for breaching those contracts, breaching those grant agreements, and state AGs would be in the right position to do so. In fact, some of those lawsuits are ongoing. We're going to have Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, joining me tomorrow at 2:30, we're going to talk about the people v. Elon Musk and some of these very lawsuits. You're not going to want to miss that. Josie, that one is for you. Thank you for your excellent question. Remember, folks, if you are a first-time caller, a woman, a vet, a conservative, you can go to the front of the line when you call into this, the Maggie Dunn Show. Jesse from Madison, his question was whether wanted the GOP to fail on their own, included Senate Democrats voting for cloture in their budget. I think I'm pronouncing that wrong. I will actually address that tomorrow. It's a technical question. I want to be sure I define all of the things right. Jesse, thank you so much. We're going to discuss again where Senate Democrats are positioning themselves on this continuing resolution to keep the government funded or whether they let the government shut down. You're going to want to tune in tomorrow for that discussion. We've got a little bit of time left, and I wanted to share with you all that I am going to be putting a couple of resources on today's show page that will help you find calm in the middle of this chaos. Every day seems like more chaos. It can be very scary. We're going to put some resources to help you and your family find calm in this chaos. We'll discuss it more in these next couple of days. That's going to do it for me, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for participating. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Keep it locked. For my little buddy, Dom Salvia, he's up next.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
Our next live broadcast is Thursday, where I welcome Mary Mack, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in the studio. Always fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Albaugh, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Uncertainty growing after U.S. tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports kicked in, leading to U.S. allies, along with China, to issue retaliatory hikes. The trade war weighing on the economy, along with a looming government shutdown deadline. That's this Friday. The House passed a bill to extend funding, but it still needs Senate approval. Democrats today say they will not get behind the bill due to funding cuts to key programs. ABC News political director Avery Harper. Harper has more.
The overall cuts to spend across the federal government. There are also issues that Democrats have with spending on health care, the possibility that it could affect health care access for those who are using the program Medicaid. But there's also this overarching concern that Congress is ceding power and the power of the purse to President Trump and Elon Musk.
On Wall Street, stocks ending mixed, making up for some of the losses this week due to positive data showing inflation is cooling. This is ABC News.